Doctor, look.
Stand aside, nurse. I'm Dr. Homebrew.
Stand clear. Oh.
Hey, everybody, thanks for joining us. It is Dr. Homebrew. We have another homebrew-filled episode here for you today on the Brewing Network. Joined with me, as always, as if we were joined at the hip, we have Brian Cooper and Brian Schaar. Welcome once again, fellas.
Well, hello.
I feel very welcome.
Good. All right, great. If we were joined at the hip, who would be in the middle?
Well, you, of course, JP.
Would it be me?
The guy with the best mic would be in the middle.
You think so? That's how it works? Damn.
We've had mic envy for a while. We're just now trying to up our game on Dr. Homebrew. We had a little experiment with it last time, and I was like popping my peas all over the mic. So now I've got the popper stopper and a
the popper stopper, baby. That's it. That's what it's called.
At this point, now that the pandemic's winding down, we're finally doing this.
Well,
we're only a year after the start of lockdown, and we finally invested in some quality podcasting gear.
That's right. Well, look, by all accounts, I'm guessing we're going to need it by the fall. Saying.
And I was thinking about doing my own podcast. I've been talking to JP, and it wouldn't be about brewing. And you know, I don't know. Maybe I could. Maybe you guys could be my guests for my exciting whatever podcast.
Yeah. It's called Get Sued, and it's all about taking someone's unsolicited advice and using it for your benefit.
Says exactly. The guy who started one called Ears Up with Disney related content.
Disney doesn't own the word ear.
And true. He was not making Disney-related ears to put on the hat ears.
That's correct.
They were customized to the user's own wishes, but they were not Disney-themed. They could simply be placed on a Disney hat.
That's correct. Yeah. Can you tell Brian worked on that? Before we get to the homebrew, everybody, I want to thank our sponsor, Five Star Chemicals. You can go to fivestarchemicals.com right now and learn everything you need to make good beer at home, to improve your brewing. This show is a lot about how can we make things better? How can I do this better? What flavors do you get or whatever? A lot of the time, the stuff comes down to sanitation and cleanliness. These are the two big issues in any beer, in any brewery, home brewer, mead maker, doesn't matter. Wine maker, doesn't matter. Who cares? Doesn't matter what you're doing or fermenting. Look, even if you're doing like hot sauce, you need to be clean. Everything needs to be clean. So you want whatever bugs you're fermenting to be put in there by you and not just added in. So go to fivestarchemicals.com, learn about Star San, learn about PBW, learn about Sani Clean if you want, all these kinds of stuffs, and then ask your local homebrew shop if they don't carry them to do so, please. Also, send them an email. Send Five Star an email. Let them know that you're listening to the show and that you really appreciate it. And maybe you've been using Five Star all the time and you go, JP, I know, I get it. I literally just ordered 5 million pounds of this stuff. I get it. I don't need to be told anymore. Thank them. Just shoot them an email. Thank them. Because they've been here since the beginning.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah. So, anyway, today we are welcoming Colin back. Colin, what's going on, my dude?
I'm glad to be here.
Thanks for joining us. I appreciate that very much. And we have, what do we have here in front of us? An ordinary bitter?
Should be.
Well, this is not just any ordinary bitter. This is a rebrewed. Dr. Homebrew advice.
Okay. Ordinary bitter. I will lay my cards out on the table. You sent me the package, and they were in Ziploc bags, right? Mm-hmm. Everything's wrapped up, and then they were bubble wrapped and whatever in a trash bag. So there was no way this thing was going to leak. And if it was going to leak, well, hell, it'd be my problem. It wouldn't be the delivery carrier of your choice. Which is always fun. And what I didn't do is I didn't take them out of the Ziploc bags. So all of the labels molded over.
I did the same thing. Well, I don't know that it's mold. I don't know that it's mold, but it looks like this.
Yeah.
Mine kind of came that way and I took mine out right away. So I don't think that was an issue on receipt.
Mine's literally mold. And I'm like, oh, because so this one I'm guessing is the ordinary bitter because I couldn't read any of the writing on it. And then
there's fuzz on here.
And then I popped the top. And then underneath the cap, like, you know, not that, not underneath the cap, but right underneath the rim of the cap, you could see this line. I'm like, oh, shit. So I like wipe it off or whatever. So note to Cooper and Char, unpack your bottles. Don't be a lazy bell end like me and put them in the fridge properly.
I was lazy like you, but yeah, they went.
I was not lazy, but it happened to me too. I mean, my labels I thought might have been like funky extra contact paper with a pattern on it somehow, because it was kind of green and pink, and I thought, well, maybe it's some extra paper.
Colin, what are you
not being wasteful? He's
what are you doing, Colin?
Scrap paper.
It was just like a 3x5 post or index cards or whatever.
Uh-huh. I have no idea. Sure. Look, everybody listening to the show, if there's some weird new outbreak in Livermore, Martinez, and Oakley, it's Colin. Yeah. Go after Colin, please.
Good to know.
Yeah. I think I washed my hands good enough. Anyway, what did we tell you to do with this beer, Colin? How did we tell you to rebrew this? What genius ideas did we give you?
So last time I used Golden Promise as the base, and it kind of came out a little bit too light. There wasn't enough biscuity, Englishy character to it.
Okay. All right. And so what did you do? How did you? Well, I guess we should taste it first and then tackle what you did. Let's do that. Char, why don't you take your new setup for a spin and tell us all about Colin's rebrew, please.
Well, thank you. I guess we can all hear my dulcet tones a little more dulcetier right now, which is probably good for everyone.
Yep.
Colin, dulcet-y. Thank you for sharing your beer as a hypochondriac, a repeat entrant in Dr. Homebrew, unless I'm stealing Cooper's thunder with his terminology. But
I did not coin that term.
It was just bandied about. We thought about repeat offenders, but really we're like, if you're receiving, you know, healthcare from a doctor, you're not an offender. If you go back, you're just maybe a hypochondriac. Bottle inspection. I like this beer a lot. First off, before I get to the bottle inspection, it was great. High fill, some yeast on the bottom indicated to me it was probably bottle conditioned. Doesn't make any difference one way or another, but it's always just kind of interesting to see if you can see a little something at the bottom of the bottle. That's what we do for fun as beer judges, people at home. We look for things at the bottom of bottles. Aroma, 8 out of 12. Aroma is low. It's kind of bread crusty and caramel. Not bread crusty like that thick rye bread, you know, super dark bread you think of with like a Schwartz beer or something, but just like a good fresh bread. It was very inviting without being over the top. Didn't get fruitiness immediately, and I was waiting for it to warm up. I do get like a low level of maybe a fermentation, yeast-based fruitiness from this. No hop aroma, which is fine for an ordinary bitter. Again, 8 out of 10. Appearance, 3 out of 3. It's extremely clear. As a British style, one might say none more clear. If we were to, you know, be thinking of Spinal Tap, you guys were laughing, so I didn't have to explain that joke.
But you did anyway, and I appreciate that about you, Brian.
It's,
I really
just
do.
It's kind of my thing. You
it
know?
Really
I'm,
is.
I'm the joke explainer.
You, yep,
just because I want to be sure nobody's left out in case I'm just too obtuse.
Look, man, you've been called a lot of things, but I don't know if joke explainer is, you know,
okay.
Top level.
Fair enough. Color is a sort of a light copper-tinged gold. Head is very low and not persistent. Again, for an ordinary bitter, that's totally fine. So 3 out of 3. Flavor, first impression I got was a low hop bitterness and a low malt flavor that was sort of caramel. I'm not going to try to say it's caramel malt, but I got a little caramel character out of that. Definitely got more sort of malt flavor, malt complexity than I remember from the previous one. Hot bitterness is low, and it matches the palate. It's well attenuated. The hot bitterness maintains through a long finish, and it's balanced with the malt. No hop flavor, but that's all right for this style. 14 out of 20. Mouthfeel, the body is low, as is carbonation. No warming. It's creamy and easy to drink. In fact, it's kind of maybe dangerously easy to drink due to the low carbonation and just the excellent flavor. No astringency. You know, I gave this 5 out of 5 for mouthfeel, but having said that, a little more carbonation might be nice for this beer. I opened both bottles just to check for bottle variation. Carbonation of both is low, and it's within spec for this style. This is a British style. It's not supposed to be, you know, some Belgian triple that's up to like three volumes or something. But I think maybe just a hint more carbonation might improve this. Overall impression, 7 for a total of 37. I made a note that it's a rebrew, so the pressure's on. Is our advice going to be contradictory? Or are we going to taste different things? What's going to happen? You know, I really like the malt part of this. I think the malt bill is tasty. And I think it's right where you want an ordinary bitter to be, in my opinion, or at least in the boundaries of where you want an ordinary bitter to be. I'd like maybe just a little more hop bitterness from the hop side. The malt is great. The style guidelines can be a little confusing for this one. I mean, this is not supposed to be an IPA, an American IPA. It's not supposed to be, you know, extremely bitter, but the bitterness is supposed to be prominent and be a sort of a prominent feature of this style of beer. And I think maybe a little more, I think the hops, the bitterness was to me maybe more at a low or medium low, and they really should be up around like a medium. So maybe next time up the hop, the bittering hops a little, but otherwise, well done and cheerio, tip top.
Wow. All right, Mr. Poppins. Okay, where Cooper, go for it. Let's go.
Where did you score that one again?
Oh, sorry, the total was 37.
37? Yeah. Okay. You told me that, but I wasn't sure what you said on the air.
No, and I just realized I was just all blah, 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 tip top, cheerio, pip, pip, and did not maybe give an actual number.
Okay.
Listeners at home, I suppose, could be following along intently enough to tote that up for themselves, but, you know, it's not really the point of the show.
So, okay, no. Cool. Ordinary Bitter. Thank you for sending us in again, and you shipped us a few different beers, so we'll be talking to you some more later on future shows here, but we're glad to receive beers from you. This Ordinary Bitter has a low, clean malt aroma, faintly caramelly, toasty, a little bit of biscuit, very inviting, medium low hop note with kind of an earthy impression, you know, really light, medium low to low. Clean medium apple pear esters, just kind of a little fruitiness that you would expect in an ale, but nothing overpowering. Not getting any DMS or diacetyl. It's nice and clean in the aroma. And yeah, I gave it I would say a 10 out of 12 for aroma, actually. It's right pretty much where it needs to be. Appearance-wise, really nice, quite clear, deep golden color, not quite pale amber, just a little bit light, I guess. It's, you know, but well, I think it just depends on what light you look at it in too. I think it's more of a golden than an amber color to me, but like a deep gold or pale, super pale amber kind of. I guess it's kind of, yeah, it's on the borderline. You could go a little Man, darker, you, but you don't.
You hit it. You described
you
it.
You don't need to.
Yep.
Yeah.
I was just helping you out there for a second. It looked like seemed like you were struggling for a word. And I'm like, you got it. Golden amber is great.
And yeah, just a fine head of white bubbles. So on the first sample I had last night, it had a fine head of white bubbles that persisted for a fair amount of time, mostly finer textured foam. And it very slowly kind of opened up to a collar around the glass of fine bubbles. I've gotten to that point much more quickly on this sample, and I'll talk about that more later. But flavor-wise, has a delicate maltiness, grainy, caramelly, light. I think I'm getting a little more toast and biscuit in this sample. The malt's coming across a little more strongly to me in this sample. The bitterness rises up to medium to balance. Very clean English ale fermentation. Nice job there. No complaints. The flavor hops, again, kind of a low, faint earthiness, a little bit of floral. Yeah, malt and light bitterness in the aftertaste. Fruitiness was low. Low flavors overall was what I said too last night. So the one I had last night, it had a, I opened, when I first, when I opened it, it had a nice hiss. And when I just opened this one, almost no hiss. So getting towards mouthfeel here, but the one I had last night had more carbonation. So and I think it was getting in the way and of some of the flavors overall. The beer is nice and clean and pleasant to drink. No DMS or diacetyl, fairly dry finish. So mouthfeel wise, the sample I had last night, light body with medium carbonation, too high for the style, gives a stronger carbonic bite and almost like a seltzery kind of impression, seltzer water than desired. No warmth, no astringency or creaminess. This one is back to low bitterness, or I'm sorry, low carbonation where it should be. And so a very obvious bottle variation to me. So I'm glad I'm tasting this one live on the show with you, and it's going to, the mouthfeel score would come up from a 3 to a 4 or a 5 with that. It's just pretty much where it needs to be there now. So what I said was the beer is clean, but light overall, it just seemed light to me, even too light for an ordinary bitter, because all I was tasting was that kind of, you know, when you drink a can of seltzer, you just get that kind of tangy, like almost metallic, like seltzery flavor. It's actually, I think it's an acid. It makes an acid in the, so it's an acidic flavor, but also especially the mouthfeel, and it just explodes in your mouth a little more. And a light beer like this, I mean, there's a reason that ordinary bitter is low carbonation and, you know, low ABV and low, a lot of, you know, real delicate beer. If you just exploded it with carbonation, it would taste like a, you know, almost like a light lager or something instead, or like, you know, light ale, cream ale, or something like with no character, you know, but it's hard to hit that balance. So yeah, it was just too much CO2 driving it and making it for such a low soft style, it was just invading it. So I said, you know, bump up the color and the carameliness a bit, the bitterness just a touch higher too. I still agree with that. It's not, again, not IPA like Brian said, but I agree with that. It's a bitter, it should have just, you know, enough for it. I'm not feeling it as much here as I'd like, but you know, you can go a little richer on the color. It's on the light end for style. It's probably light amber, pale amber, but not to belabor that too much, but you know, appearance is 3 points.
Yeah.
It's really clean. It really is a very enjoyable version of this beer. And a good recipe. You know, the maltiness is nice in it. I was going to say, sorry if we steered you wrong. I hope we didn't tell him to bump up his carbonation on it, because that would just be wrong. But he took really good care of fermentation. And I said, keep on trying. Don't listen to us at the end. But I gave it like a 34 last night. And I was just, but now this one's more up 37, 38, where Brian's at, I think, even possibly a little better than that. Yeah. Probably an extra couple points on flavor, couple extra points on mouthfeel. So 38, at least, maybe 39. I don't know. Yeah, it's really nice. I like it a lot, but I'm kind of going back and forth between what I tasted last night and what I'm tasting now. And it's definitely a different animal. And the carbonation is really the only difference. I assume it was the same beer and not two different batches. Just the, you said it was bottle conditioned, Colin?
It is not. So that's off it's a not. Beer, okay. Off a keg. So that's
okay.
Surprising to me. I wonder if I got some secondary something in there, fermented a little bit or something.
It was really noticeable hiss on the open. I wasn't imagining it. It was, you know, late at night after my kid went to bed, but it wasn't too late. I wasn't, you know, 6 beers in or anything. I usually
no, you were
keep
8.
It pretty clean. And, yeah.
You're only 4 beers in and they were just like Duvel.
Right.
I agree with you guys for the most part. I like it. I think it could maybe use a little bit more bitterness, like a touch, but otherwise I think it's a great beer. I would give it a 42. Maybe it's a little too sweet. Nice. And maybe the bitterness will help with that. I think a dry hop in this would be rad too. I think the flavors are there, and I think it could really carry some nice, you know, dry hop, some whole leaf, you know, yeah, whatever, EKG or whatever. All right, so what did you change, Colin?
Just changed the base malt from Golden Promise to Maris Otter.
That's it.
That was it. The only difference. So the hops being low is kind of surprising to me, and I wonder if it's old, if that's had something to do with it. Because there's about 3.5 ounces of hops in that beer for a 3% ABV beer.
What kind of hops?
Fuggle and East Kent Golden.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, those tend to be low alpha, but that's still a lot of hops for a beer like this, even if they're low alpha.
Right. So it's about an ounce, ounce and a half-ish at 60 minutes, about an ounce at 20 minutes, and about an ounce at a minute. Or 5 minutes, sorry. Yeah.
Well, I did have a pre-beer last night before I judged the beers, and it was like an American pale ale, so that could be coloring my, like... my hops palate is probably just blown to hell by now because I'm an IPA fan, and you know.
See, and yet another reason to stay away from IPAs.
We've had a right. Lupulin threshold shift.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. I think it's just the sweetness kind of plays with the hops a little bit. I wonder the what were your gravities? Were your gravities any different, Colin?
No. So I mean, original gravity is 35. Final gravity is 7, which. Well, so this one's actually a little drier. So last version was 36 and 9.
It is pretty dry. I don't think it detracted from it too much, but a little more sweetness might. Yeah, I don't know.
More sweetness or less sweetness?
It felt pretty dry. Pretty dry to me. What do you think, JP?
I think it has a little. It depends. If we're going to bump up the bitterness, don't touch the sweetness. But if the bitterness is probably fine, I think it's a little too perceived sweetness.
Sure.
And that's where I think just a hint more carbonation, not mm-hmm. cranking this up. I totally understand what Cooper's saying, but I think just cranking up the carbonation just a touch would give you that carbonic bite that would kind of lift some of that sweetness off your palate.
I know what it tastes like with more carbonic bite, and it wasn't. Yeah, yeah. I think it was just a little bottle.
I don't mean a lot more, man. I just mean a little bit more.
I struggled making this kind of beer for a long time, and I could not figure out why. I just never really tasted good. It was just kind of bland. And then I was like, I had always read about the carbonation being low, but never really took that too much consideration. Yeah. And then bumped it down to like 1.25 volumes. I'm like, oh. That's why I can't breathe this beer. Makes all the difference in the world for this style. It's crazy how much of a difference it makes.
You were putting in too much carbonation.
Yeah, and that carbonic just kills all the other flavors.
Yeah,
it's not impossible to. Yeah, there might have been something in the bottle the last one I had because I thought I got a very faint phenolic in it too. Okay. Like maybe something got a little loose in that bottle and just twisted it. But this is very good, I think.
Oh yeah,
I'm starting to agree. More with JP.
Ah, see?
What? How warm is the beer? That makes a difference too.
Yeah, it came out of the fridge when we, a little bit before you came on. So yeah, I think it's.
Yeah, I think mine's good English ale serving temp. It's not super cold, you know, but
yeah,
it's.
Yeah, mine's been
it's
out
not
of the
body
fridge
temperature
for maybe an hour. Yeah. You haven't snuggled up with it all night?
No.
Yeah, mine's probably a little cold.
So not getting much esters out of it is surprising to me. I agree with you. But like I use the ESB, the 1968, I think it's Fuller's yeast. At like I pitched at 66 and then let it rise to 68 and then finished at 72. And then I pitched 0.85, so maybe a little bit in the normal range. But I can't. Like when it's fermenting, you get a good bit, but then the esters just kind of go away. And I tend to have that issue quite a bit with beers. I don't know if I'm just being too conservative with my temperatures or what, but I struggle to get a lot of yeast character a lot of the time.
Yeah, you know, a little more fruitiness might actually help this too. And that could be one way to go about it, just play with your fermentation a little bit more too. I don't know if you're pitching a healthy amount and all that too. And I don't know if you're just being too kind to your yeast, where I was just like, oh, it's easy. I'm not stressed at all.
Well, that was sort of a question I was going to have where, you know, you don't want to stress the yeast because those aren't the flavors we want, but could he be over pitching and the fermentation so rapid that ester development doesn't have a chance to really happen? Is that a thing that could possibly happen?
Yeah, overpitching is tough because it's, you know, most home brewers have the opposite problem or a lot. Well, lately, a lot of them have been doing really well with it. But
it's very hard to overpitch as a home brewer, but
easier to overpitch on this one.
Yeah, if you're going to overpitch, I totally agree. It's really difficult at a homebrew level, but if you're going to make you a 3% ABV, really light British style, this might be one where that could happen. I don't know. I mean, maybe it's worth whipping out that old Mr. Malty yeast calculator and trying that out and just see what Mr. Malty says.
What temp are you fermenting at, Colin?
As far as pitch rate, I mean, you build my yeast starters based off of those calculators to get a very specific pitch rate.
Okay.
Obviously, they're all estimates, so who knows. But
right.
I pitched at 66, and then once Krausen hit 68, and then toward the end bumped it up to 70.
That should be enough.
Yeah,
I would think. I mean, like Cooper saying, maybe just up it a couple degrees.
Yeah.
You know,
so,
maybe pitch at 68 and then let it go to 70 or 72 or whatever.
Right.
Maybe 74.
Yeah, where we scored it before. I hope we didn't score it lower because I think it's probably better. But
the maltiness.
I think it's better. I like it. I like it better. But this is the fickle part about judging, right? You know, it's not linear. You can't hold the last one up and say, this is a shining example. Everything will be compared to this because it's on a sliding scale.
Yeah, your memory is never as good or as bad as you think it is.
That's right.
As far as remembering stuff you've eaten or drank in the past.
That's right.
Don't they say whenever you have a memory, it rewrites it? And so over time, your memory gets better and better and better than it actually was.
I think that's...
That sounds about right.
Yeah. Oh, I've heard that before. I remember hearing it somewhere. I don't know.
No, but I think if I redo my math from last night, I added, you know, a point on aroma, left appearance where it is. I would add a couple points on flavor. So that's 3 so far, a couple points on mouthfeel, that's 5. And I'd probably add one more point on overall impression, which I had at a 7. I'd probably go 8 there. So that's 6 more points from 34 would be 40. So, yeah.
Wait,
it's really good.
You did math wrong last night?
No, I'm just adding points where I would have
tasted
like it did tonight. Last night,
I
would have landed there instead of where I did.
Okay.
He's just fixing it on the fly, kind of like an ER doctor.
Yeah, he's just making Colin feel good, and that's good.
Yeah.
It's not fake or anything. It's just like that phenolic.
Right.
It was a little something in the aftertaste, along with the seltzery. And I distinctly remember that seltzery flavor, that seltzery bite and attack and the sparkle of it just bothering me.
Yeah.
And then a little phenolic coming out late in the palate, and it's not happening on this one at all. So
we're just harassing you, Coop. Don't worry about it. Colin, do you have anything else for the guys? Anything you want to cover?
Sulfate. Did you guys, so I ran about 200 PPM sulfate, which is a lot. It's like my West Coast IPA is usually right about 150. So this is a good bit higher. And I think I've done a 250 and I thought it was too much, but what do you guys think as far as sulfate character?
You don't want to know what I think, because I don't know.
The water's kind of out of the way. I'm not getting any big, you know, like sulfate-y bite to it or anything. It's smooth, and I don't think I'd want too much more of that edginess in there. It might accent the hops a little bit, though. You know, it might give it that, like, slightly more Burtonized kind of effect and be a little more kind of, you know, gnarly English little twist, you know, but what do you think, Char?
I mean, it's always a thing you can play with, and it's, I don't know. Yeah, you know, maybe a little bit more. I'd be very careful of going too high with that, because you can easily over adjust your water, especially with a beer that's this light in body. I think you can easily turn this into a beer taste like you're licking a rock. By just over adjusting your water. Having said that, yeah, maybe some sulfate would give you a little more Burton type character. It might increase the perceived bitterness just a little bit. Give it a shot next time. You know, I think your malt is right where it needs to be. You know, probably you shouldn't mess around with your hops too much. I would maybe bump it up just a little teeny bit, but maybe changing your sulfate content to your water rather than messing with your hops might give both a little bit of additional perceived bitterness and a little bit more sort of quote British unquote character to this beer.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
Yeah, that British character, like anytime Samuel Smith, anything like that, you pop it open, oh, this is an English beer. And I've yet to capture that in any English beer I've made. I don't know if I'm just being, again, too nice to my yeast and not enough sulfate or what, but
go gradual with it. Yeah. Go gradual. Yeah.
I think the British took all that special stuff back after we kicked their asses in the war. given that 4th of July is coming up, you know, I love the UK. Don't get me wrong, British listeners. I love you. But, you know, it's our 4th of July in like 2 days. So, you know.
That's right.
It's understandable if you took your beer making stuff and went home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Suckers.
hey, you know what? We also have to talk to Colin about his experience. He was telling me about a competition he was involved with. Maybe I can let him tell the little story here.
Yeah, so I actually got a best in show at the Colonial Cup in Charleston a couple months ago.
Nice.
Well, that's awesome. Congratulations.
It was my first best of show, so I was pretty pumped. And awesome. It was actually the first competition I've actually gone to. So I think I should go to all of them now. So
Congrats.
Yeah, just retire champion, dude. That's it. You're done.
Congrats on that. Was it a beer we tasted or no?
It was. So the Czech Dark Lager. It was a rebrewed version of that, but
cool.
So nice. Did you put us down as co-brewers or I mean what?
No, I didn't.
That's what needs to happen, guys. Every time you guys rebrew a beer and enter it because of our show, we are co-brewers.
Okay.
Especially if you get the best of show, yeah.
Especially if you win a good medal like that.
You're up on that stage. I'd like to thank Brian and JP. And Oh, yeah. I'm also a kick-ass brewer, but that's beside the point.
That's it. All right, Colin, that's it. That'll do it for you.
Yep. Sounds good. Cool. I appreciate it, guys.
All right. Thanks, man. Thanks for sending that in. Good job.
Yep. Absolutely.
Thank you, sir.
Keep up the good work. All right. We're going to take a break, everybody, and we're going to come back. We're going to be drinking more homebrew on Dr. Homebrew. Hang on. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hello, fellow BNers. This is Sully from the 21st Amendment Brewery located in San Francisco, just 2 blocks from Giants Park. Before Nico and I opened the 21A and before I was a professional brewer, I homebrewed on my small four-burner apartment stove in a back house in Santa Monica, California, making my extract brews before graduating to the daunting idea of all-grain brewing. Homebrew books and information was hard to come by back then. The internet hadn't been invented yet, along with other things we take for granted today, like electricity and potable water. One thing I wish I had back then when I was learning was a radio show that could teach me the ins and outs of brewing and answer questions that I had about homebrewing, a resource for making great craft beer. The 21st Amendment Brewery is excited to be a proud sponsor of Dr. Homebrew, a great show that teaches you what you need to know about making incredible beer. Good stuff. Listen up. You might learn something. I certainly did. And thanks for your support. Tasty Crack Games.
Dr. Homebrew, please report to the ER for a code blue. Dr. Homebrew to the ER, please. No, and your tea time has been moved to 2:30.
Thanks for hanging around, everybody. We are Dr. Homebrew, and we are joined by Chris. Chris, welcome back, dude.
How are you doing?
Not too bad, man. Not too bad. So you sent an American IPA. Appreciate that very much. It's my favorite style. And what's the history behind this beer? Is it your favorite style, I guess? I don't know. I'd like asking these dumb questions.
I want to do something that was different than what I normally do.
Okay.
First IPA.
Okay. What do you normally brew?
I do a lot of stouts, a lot of porters. You guys know about.
We had this. The salted caramel mocha coffee.
Oh, that's right.
Porter that we had. That was pretty nice. Yeah. Tasty stuff there for sure.
All right.
Yeah, that was real good.
So you're switching it up here and doing the old American IPA. All right. Sounds good, man. Sounds good. Brian Cooper. Why don't you go start us off, please, with this beer?
All right. I'm going to crack this beer. So, I remember chatting with you on the last show, well, two shows ago, I guess now, but Chris is a repeat offender here, but he's not quite the repeat offender that our last guest was. I meant to make a bigger deal about that because Colin's been on the show quite a few times and he's part of our hypochondriac series. So I just wanted to mention that. But I'm pouring the IPA. Here we go. All right. Aroma-wise, I'm getting a low, buttery, artificial popcorn flavoring like diacetyl up front. It's detracting from the otherwise nice IPA-like aromas that are in there. There is some light caramelly malt, which is nice, but it's coming across a little bit butterscotchy with that the addition of the diacetyl. Medium-high citrusy and resiny hop. No DMS or acetaldehyde. A medium fruity ale esters kind of. The appearance is rich, deep amber, almost to coppery. Well, it's rich amber, I guess. No obvious haze. There's a little bit of hop haze. Nothing huge. A fine head of clear. Smaller bubbles. White in color, phase to a thin collar. A fine foam pretty soon after pouring. It doesn't stick around too very well, but yeah. The diacetyl artificial buttery flavor comes out on top again here. It's not super heavy. It's kind of medium low, but if you're sensitive to it, you'll pick it up right away. Some people can't taste it, and God bless them. I almost wish I was one of those sometimes, because this would probably taste really good without that. There's some nice medium malty caramelly malt flavors in there. Citrusy resiny hop flavor, good for the style. I'm kind of medium high level there. Balance is to the hops. If you have to choose between malt and hops, ale ferment is apparent, but again, that it's got a butterscotch like maltiness that sticks around in the aftertaste, and it finishes semi-dry, I would say. Only a touch of sweetness. The bitterness is in there is medium-high level. It's kind of a classic IPA, American IPA from the 90s kind of bitterness level, which is perfectly fine. Mouthfeel-wise, it's a medium-bodied, medium-low carbon dioxide with some light alcohol warmth coming through, just a bit of that. Little slickness from the diacetyl. Detracting, no astringency though, and otherwise it's pretty good. No creaminess really to speak of. Overall, it seems like a good IPA recipe, although a bit toward the reddish end of things. It was like coppery. When I look at it in different lights, it's hard to see where it's at, but it's just kind of a red IPA territory almost, coppery colored. IPA. Most of the ones you get lately are even lighter almost than the style guidelines declare them to be. So there's been some drift in the style over the years too, and I'm trying not to judge it against that shift that's been made. I like a good classic West Coast IPA as well. But yeah, a pretty good beer. Really the only real thing that's detracting from it is that butteriness. So I'm looking at my score here. Am I being fair? Maybe I was in a bad mood last night. I'm sorry, Chris.
Damn.
I landed at like a 22, but I think I probably landed more like a... So looking at the scoring guy, I say like, okay, is it... 22 would be on the low end of good, misses the mark on style and or minor flaws. I would say there's definitely, some more than just minor flaws, but it's not really missing the mark on style. So it's kind of hard to... put it on the super low end of that. Actually hits the style fairly well other than that one defect, and it is fairly minor. So maybe the midpoint of good, like 25, is a better place to be. I want to be fair here, so but
now
it's hard for me to get
now that the anonymity now the anonymity is gone from it. Now you see Chris, now it's a whole different story. Look at this bully being shot down. No, I'm just kidding.
I was just offended by the butter, and
I don't get butter. It. I'm super sensitive to it. I keep cutting you off. I apologize. I don't get any diacetyl at all. I mean, I think what it is more than anything, I think it's there's a lot of crystal malt in here, and I think the hops and that crystal malt, they can sometimes get that almost like candied orange like aromatics. And I think it's something that with like a yeast ester that is like a sweet, more round, maybe butter. But I don't get diacetyl in
with the
in
maltiness.
Mine.
It's butterscotchy to me. So yeah, okay. We'll see what Brian says.
Okay,
thank you though.
I mean, you're not wrong. It's it's more like caramel, like straight caramel, like caramel in the middle of a candy.
Sometimes caramel can play that way a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, and so maybe that's what I'm getting, but I'm so used to, and this is a good like topic for vocabularies, right? Because we're saying the same thing, maybe potentially, but I'm not thinking it as diacetyl because I'm thinking of it now as like caramel candy.
But this is coming from the guy who generally hates IPAs and wants them to be different in any way than they could be from the actual style as declared. And
but I understand them. See, there you go.
I'm not denying you that. Okay, Brian.
To truly hate something, you must learn to understand it.
You know, go ahead, Char. Do like some continuing medical education, like a CME, as the doctor's homebrew for like off flavors.
True. You should definitely do that.
Yeah, that'll be a good CME. Hi, Chris. Thanks for sending in your beer. I ticked the bottle inspections, appropriate size and fill. It was a little bit of a high fill, and I didn't get a hiss. And I thought that might be because of the high fill, but all three of the bottles, and I thank you for sending three bottles. I opened them all up thinking there might be some bottle variation, but all of them were extremely low, almost no carbonation. And I think to me, that's maybe I landed on it just to skip ahead just for a moment. I landed on 25 also. And I think the lack of carbonation was a big part of that for me. Aroma is medium malt, including some, got some caramel aroma. I'll be interested later to hear if that was caramel malt or where that came from. Got a medium piney, resiny hop aroma. What's interesting is all three of us kind of got some kind of off flavor. I'm almost thinking it's more like DMS, like that pumpkiny, like our friend Nicole Ernie described it to us a couple of years ago, where DMS often manifests like a pumpkin rind or a vegetal type of character. And I get a little bit of that more than diacetyl. Having said that, you know, I'm kind of a right in the middle of the road, top of the bell curve diacetyl taster. I'm not a super taster, but I'm not blind to it either. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's got to be some people, oh my God, there's a molecule of diacetyl in the next room, and they have to run out of the house. And thank God I'm not one of those folks. So aroma, I gave it a 7. Appearance, 2 out of 3. Colors, medium copper. I agree with Cooper. It's almost a red IPA color, which I liked. It's crystal clear, but there's almost no head, which for this style, I knocked off a point. Flavor, initial impression to me was sort of a floral and piney hop flavor. Malt comes up to balance that flavor. There's a significant caramel character in mid-palate, which to me, even though it's well attenuated, there were a few sips where I thought it was almost worty, not in the sense that it was under attenuated, because it's certainly not. I mean, this beer fermented out all the way, as far as I can tell. I don't have a hydrometer with me or know the OG, but I mean, it doesn't seem to be a lot of residual sugar floating around. It's just that character. And to me, that also plays into that lack of carbonation, where some carbonation lifting that off your tongue, I think would have gotten, I think it's just that malt sitting on the tongue that kind of can come across a little worty, even though it's a well attenuated beer. Finish is long and balanced. I got just maybe a tiny hint of phenol. And just like in the aroma, just maybe a little bit of DMS. So 10 out of 20. Mouthfeel, I dinged you pretty hard on mouthfeel because of the lack of carbonation and the knock-on effects that has on flavor and aroma. So 1 out of 5. Overall impression, 5 out of 10 for a total score of 25. You know, I think the basic concept of this beer is really good. I like the choice of hops. I think they work well together. I like the flavor. you know, I don't know if you call them the OG or the throwback or the whatever West Coast IPA. It does take me back to, you know, 1995 and drinking IPA in 1995. But just something, and it's interesting that all three of us kind of identified it as something different, but I feel like something went wrong in fermentation, probably pre-bottling. So if it took place after bottling, these would have been super high carbonated bottle bomb gushers. And I just, if I had to guess, I'd guess that something got into your fermenter and started, you know, eating something that it shouldn't have been eating and ended up resulting in some flavors that you didn't like, and then, or that we didn't like so much. And then, you know, that might play into the lack of carbonation. And I'll be curious to hear if you bottle carbonate or bottle condition this or filled from a keg, because the even with having some minor off flavor issues, I think if this had been carbonated, this would have been probably 8 points higher. I think you'd have been up over 30 had this had a normal good carbonation. But thank you for sharing.
Awesome. All right, Chris. So I guess the big question is, what did you model this IPA after? Because it is very late 90s West Coast style. Is that what you're trying to do, or did you screw it up?
This recipe.
Yep.
Is the name of it is it was from the 2020 Big Brew, the second pick. It was the oh, now I forget the name of it. It was done for COVID.
Okay. Okay.
Well, hopefully against COVID.
Well, yeah.
Support COVID. Yeah, it was, today.
It was called Quarantine.
Quarantine. Okay.
I was actually going to have, you know, like the label was going to be the mask and put them in the box. I thought it'd be funny, but this is exact from letter was the recipe from the AHA 2020 Big Brew.
That's cool. Right on, man. Right on. Is it supposed to be sort of that kind of throwback? Okay. Good. Well, it's definitely that. It is definitely that. You got that big crystal malt. You want to go through your recipe real fast?
Yeah, sure. Recipe is 10 pounds of brewer's malt, which is from Great Western, 4 pounds of regular two-row from Breese, 1 pound of Munich malt, 12 ounces of Crystal 40. So there's the crystal.
Wow.
And then everything else is hops.
In how many gallons?
This was a 6 gallon.
12 ounces of okay. Crystal 40?
I'm looking at the recipe. It says the recipe calls for 8 ounces Crystal 40 in the Big Brew recipe. So you bumped it up because you like Crystal. Did you?
You made a mistake. Man. You doubled it.
It says 10 pounds, 10 pounds base malt, 1 pound Munich, and 8 ounce Crystal, which is that's a good classic recipe, you know, malt bill for a classic IPA. Oh,
I had to bring it up a little bit because
okay.
For some reason my brew house efficiency was low. So okay. I scaled it up so the 12 ounces I should have left that where it was.
Yeah, when you're making efficiency adjustments, you might want to mostly bump up the base malt and not go too crazy on the specialty malts, or it's gonna change the you're still getting all that color and all that and the flavor.
That's why it was turning into a red IPA instead of an American.
Yeah,
exactly.
So then on the hops, the 1 ounce of Columbus at 60, 1 ounce of Centennial at 20 minutes, 1 ounce of Cascade at 10 minutes, 1/2 ounce of Centennial at 10 minutes, and then 1 ounce of Cascade at zero. And then dry hop with 2 ounces of Centennial and 1 ounce of Columbus. It said 3 days before, 3 days into the fermentation.
Hmm.
So that might have been that might have been a mistake as well.
Yeah, that's always a choice you have to make, is when to add the dry hop and, you know, how long to leave it in. I think that, that calls for a 5-day dry hop. You know, a lot of people wait till their fermentation is complete, and some people are afraid of, you know, adding oxidation or having it just sit too long or something, and go earlier, and the active fermentation can kind of scrub out some of those hop flavors. So if you're gonna do that, you should probably bump it up by, you know, 30% or something, just to account for that effect.
And then of course the yeast was the American West Coast BRY97.
Who makes that? Ooh, BRY, what is that?
Lallemand. Yeah.
Okay.
What did you hit for gravity on it?
Gravity was 1.056 for the original, and my final was 10.
Okay.
That's not bad. Could go a little drier, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, there was also some problems as well.
What happened?
By transferring from fermenter to keg, there was a clog. I had to disassemble the keg, drain it back out into another keg.
Ooh.
And it kept the sediment and the hop material kept messed up the post. So I had to tear the post out at least twice. So there's a lot of possibility of oxidation.
Yeah.
These were not bottle conditioned. They were from the keg.
Okay.
So yeah, it's strange that carbonation on some, but not on others.
Yeah, it's not just the oxidation. I mean, every transfer gives you an opportunity to pick up more bacteria, right, or wild yeast or something else. And I suspect some combination of that. And I appreciate you trying your best to salvage that. And we've all been there where we've had something go wrong and you don't want to lose the batch, or you don't want to lose the 3/4 of the batch or whatever. And then everything you do to save it ends up kind of hurting it in the long run. It's happened to all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And plus what you're drinking is almost 6 months old.
Okay. Yeah. I'm betting it was a lot better earlier on too. The recipe is really, it's not bad. It's got a lot of good hop aromas in there that, you know, for me, I have to dig behind the butter because I'm pretty sensitive to that. So that's part of the problem. Maybe not as sensitive as Doc, but, you know, man, well, I judge with that guy. He'd get like the diacetyl in the next room thing JP was talking about. But,
yeah, that's true.
I can get it a fairly low threshold, but it's, you know, yeah, with IPAs, it just gets in the way of the hops and twists the malt, especially with a maltier IPA for me. I don't agree with Brian on acetaldehyde. I'm not tasting any pumpkin skin here or green apple, but I don't agree with that, but you know, you're welcome to that. I agree more with JP on the malt. The caramelly malt, which can sometimes give a diacetyl-like impression or a butterscotch-like impression.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. It sounded like you made some adjustments from the recipe to deal with your system, and your efficiency came out a little lower than it was supposed to be here anyway. It said it was supposed to target 1060. You're a few points lower only. So you came up, you know, a fair amount on all your malt ingredients, especially that, you know, adding 50% more Crystal 40, that's just where it pushed it into red IPA territory. Yeah. If you want to go for red IPA, cool. You know, it's actually, it would probably score a few points higher as a red IPA in my book too. You know, maybe high 20s or, you know, low 30s at that point, but it's just, it's super rich with all that carameliness in there, and the buttery quality, wherever it's coming from, for me, is just, that's, you know, it's a pet peeve of mine. You get a nice, open a nice fresh IPA and you get butter hops. Like,
Yeah, I get that. Chris, do you have any other questions for the guys?
No. I mean, you know, that was the first time I did an IPA and I wanted to get some feedback. I knew that I had some problems and I'm just not good enough to hide the problems again.
Well, keep brewing IPAs. Yeah, send them to JP every Tuesday when you make a new one.
Sure, do that. Everyone would love
that. Chris, you know what I forgot to ask you at the very beginning, and it's kind of my thing, too. I can't believe I forgot. Are you in a homebrew club?
No, I'm not.
All right, there you go. The old lone wolf, Brian.
That you're the lone wolf. You're going to be on a watch list, and that's okay. Yeah. Just keep brewing. That's a good watch list.
Yeah.
Yep.
Did you say that you put it in NHC or this beer or some other beers?
That went into NHC. The porter went into NHC. Of course, that one went into the wrong category. I should have went into specialty, but it went to the English porter. I got pretty decent write-up on both of them, especially the porter. The judges were saying, well, it would have been better, and especially would have,
Yeah.
I mean, there was only 50 entrants in the specialty.
Wow.
Not bad. Not bad.
I really liked that beer. That was nice. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Chris. Well, we'll let you split, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, sure. Come on again anytime, man. We'll dial in that IPA. I like IPAs.
Absolutely.
Send more of those English beers, Zena.
Yeah, I'm doing I'm redoing that porter. I'm doing a stout. I'm doing a triple, a brown ale. I'm going to end up sending them all to you. I'm going to try to take the most offender spot.
Sometimes just like what works well for your water. It might just be that dark beers and English beers work well for the water you have there. And we didn't really talk about your water, but
I don't do anything with water chemistry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Neither do I, man. It's annoying. Fuck it.
Yeah. Brew what works for your water. If you like that, that kind of strategy, that's cool.
Yeah,
definitely.
Exactly.
All right. Thanks a lot, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, man. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to wrap things up here on Dr. Homebrew. We'll be right back.
The leader in affordable, high-quality kegerators is here. Introducing Komos, the kegerator designed with serious beer drinkers in mind. It features an all-stainless steel draft tower, a major upgrade over traditional chrome-plated brass towers, and Komos keeps your new tower cold with their air-cooled tower fan, wrapping your beer lines in frigid coolness. Your beer is poured from innovative forward-sealing faucets that don't leak, so they stay cleaner for longer. Dual gas inlets on the rear of the fridge allow you to run both CO2 and nitrogen gas. Serve your beer with CO2, serve your kegged wine or even cocktails with nitrogen. The digital temperature display has the largest range available, allowing you to use the Komos Kegerator for fermentation if you need to. And now Komos Kegerators ship with duo-tight draft fittings for that click-to-connect assembly we've all dreamed of. Buy direct from KomosDraft.com and receive free shipping on your order. That's KomosDraft.com.
Now, back to the examination.
Hey, and thanks for sticking around, everybody. We're about to wrap things up here on Dr. Homebrew. I did want to talk about this show, We Need Beers. So if you want to enter your beers, if you want to get quality feedback by me personally, and then substandard feedback from these other two guys, email brian@thebrewingnetwork.com. Right, Brian? And we'll get right back to you. Everybody knows it's Brian with an I. Nobody spells Brian with a Y.
Yeah, that's crazy talk.
It's crazy talk.
With a Y.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Tell that to Brian Cranston, okay?
I will. Get him on the fucking phone.
I have to make sure. I think he spells his with a Y.
You know, I wonder if you just
in
like...
Breaking Bad, when he's making meth in that facility under like the car wash in Albuquerque, and he has all that stainless, all I could think of was, is that brewing equipment? I mean, I bet you could make better beer on there than whatever that, nonsense he was trying to make.
Well, he was making high-quality meth, so I don't think
that... Is there such a thing?
I mean, that was the show was about, so I imagine so. I don't know.
I guess that's true.
The mountains turned blue on his crystal meth. And
sure.
Yeah.
It sure did. All right, boys, we are going to get out of here. If you're listening live, go ahead and stay tuned. We're about to, probably take a 5-minute break or something and then jump right back into another show. We have a whole bunch of other stuff going on the rest of the channels. I just released the session today, as a matter of fact, with Buck Wild Brewing, which is California's only 100% gluten-free brewery. And by gluten-free, they mean even the food in the tap room. The guest taps are gluten-free, and they're doing some crazy stuff. And I know what you're thinking, gluten-free beer never tastes like beer. This stuff actually has body and actually tastes like beer. So check it out. It was a good session. Sully co-hosted with me, and I had a lot of fun. So check that out. And, you know, of course, all of our other shows. But, yeah. Anyway, until next time, everybody, thanks a lot. We'll be back here, like I said, in about 5 minutes with a new show, Dr. Homebrew. And, you know, we'll see you guys later. Stay safe. And I know you're tired of hearing about it, but look, man, mask up, okay?